speaking to myself, because I need this message as much as everybody else. So just going to say that. And Happy New Year to you all. And we've already thought, haven't we, about how we feel about this coming year. Some people are excited and some people might be a bit concerned or a bit worried. Maybe some people are full of good intentions. We all have our personal hopes and dreams, don't we? And worries. Maybe we're concerned about national issues and Brexit and things like that. So there's lots we might be wondering about at the beginning of this year. And it is good to pray for God's blessing and his guidance. It's a really good time to fix our eyes on Jesus. And remember, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. So whatever may lie ahead, we really do need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And I want to share some thoughts this morning that I hope will remind us all, remind me, that we can be confident in Jesus. He's the one we're following, and we can be truly confident in him. And we can not only be confident in him, but we can be confident in what he's done in our lives and what he's going to do in our lives and who we are in Christ. So my first verse I'm going to read to you is a really encouraging one from John 16:33. Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Now I'm sure a lot of you know that verse, and it's good. And some versions sort of actually say, but cheer up, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And it is a verse, it's worth memorising and it's worth pondering. But let's just think a little bit about where it fits into John's Gospel. It's right the last verse of chapter 16. If you know John's Gospel, you know that chapter 17 is Jesus' prayer to the Father for his disciples and for the people who would believe because of their testimony. So he was praying for us as well. And it's always wonderful to think that Jesus has prayed for us at that point. He was praying for us. But if we go back through chapters 30, 14, 15 and 16, before that prayer, we will see that Jesus was spending some very precious time with his disciples. It was the Last Supper, he was teaching them, and it was just before he was going to the cross. So he knew that enormous change was about to happen. This was the reason he'd come to earth. He had come to earth for this hour. His hour had come. But he knew that the disciples were going to struggle with what came ahead. They had got so used to him being there physically that they could see him and speak to him. And it was going to change. They were going to have the trauma of seeing him crucified, but then the joy of him rising again. But it was also going to be a completely different phase, because when Jesus went up to heaven, he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be with them, to dwell in them. And that was something that they hadn't any real concept about. And so he was trying to teach them about who was going to come and who was going to be with them. And it was a concept really outside of their understanding. Just as we said, we don't quite know what this year is going to hold for us. They really couldn't understand what the next few months were going to be like. But it was going to be an enormous change. Jesus dying on the cross and rising again. It was an enormous shift in history. It was the most wonderful time. And Jesus was trying to prepare them that he was going to go away. He was trying to prepare them that after he'd risen again, he would send them the Holy Spirit, who would indwell them and would counsel them. And we need to remember that. We are not alone as we go into this new year. We have the Holy Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and he will teach us things, and he will be with us as we go through each day of this year. And I really pray that we'll all become more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because we need to be Spirit-led. We always do, but I think particularly this year. And so some of the verses that Jesus was speaking about the counselor, let's go to John 14:26-27. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. How wonderful. Don't we sometimes think, oh, I don't want to forget that. If you're anything like me, I'm always writing down notes all over my house, the little note, bits of notes about what I think the Lord said to me, or things I need to buy, or things I need to do. I'm always writing notes. But the Holy Spirit who is in us is going to speak to us and going to remind us of everything that Jesus has said. And that was the promise to the disciples. But it is a promise to us. If you've read the word, you might not have memorized it, but your spirit has taken the word in, and the Holy Spirit can bring that word up to you. And it said, then in verse 27 it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So again, like in John 16, he's saying, I'm going to give you peace. And initially it is the peace that we can have with God. That we can have that peace, like we've been singing about running into his arms. The fact is that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us of all our sins. The barrier of sin has been dealt with so that we can run to Father God because of what Jesus has done. So in some ways you could say this peace that Jesus is going to give is the peace that we can have a relationship with Father God. We don't have to feel unworthy because Jesus' blood has cleansed us. But it's also a peace that sits on us, a peace that can be deep in our hearts when we're in a difficult situation. It's so wonderful to experience the deep peace of Jesus, and his peace can come in and it sits on us sometimes. Have you ever experienced that? Where you've been in a very difficult situation and you just experience the peace of God, and it is something that passes understanding. You can't describe it, but it is such a precious gift. And Jesus wants to encourage you this year that you can experience his peace even when there may be challenges. Now, there could be some really exciting things, so I don't want to be all negative about the year, but it is a wonderful thing to experience that peace. And I do believe he wants us to experience it more, that we walk around really treasuring the peace that we can have with God in our hearts, because it will make a difference to the people we meet, that they will see something different about us. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So many times in Scripture it says do not be afraid. Somebody says 365, one for every day of the year. I haven't counted them up regularly recently, but that's what they say. So John 16:33 speaks of the reality that we now live in two locations. We live in the world, but we're also living in Jesus, and he is living in us. And he wants us this year to really experience that, to realize though we're in the world, we are in Christ, and it become more important to us that our position is in Christ and that Christ is in us. And I think this year also the Holy Spirit wants to work in everybody's heart to enlarge our vision of Jesus, because that is something the Holy Spirit always wants to teach us more about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit loves to help us to tell other people about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will help us to be overcomers. Now, when we went back to that verse, it said that Jesus said, I have overcome the world. But what about us? How do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves as under the situation or above the situation? So he said, in the world there can be trouble, but in Jesus we can receive the supernatural peace that passes all understanding. And when we've got peace, we're experiencing that peace in our heart, it's much easier to hear the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You know, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, and this year he wants us to be more aware of his prompting, of his speaking, as we go out day in and day out. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. We need to recognise that Jesus is the one who's overcome sin and death. And as I said, the Holy Spirit wants to give us a clearer understanding of who Jesus is, so that we can grasp the truth of who we are in Christ. So I want to read to you some more scriptures from John, but this is his letter, one of his epistles. So 1 John 4, verse 4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." What a promise that we have the greater one in us, living in us. And then in 1 John 5, I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." How amazing to think that if we are born of God, we are born overcomers. You know, if you were born into, any child that I gave birth to was born a Holland. That is their identity, and they know they're the Holland family. But if we've been born of God, we have been born as overcomers. Earlier, Alan was saying about being becomers. We become a child of God. We are born of God. We are born of love. We are born to love. But we are born to be overcomers. And we are, when we're born again, if you think of my children, they have that similar characteristics to me and Peter. But when we're born of God, it's like we're born, and in us, in our reborn spirit, is like the same spiritual DNA that there is in Jesus. And Jesus is the overcomer. So when we're born again, in our spirit, we too are overcomers. And how did we become born again? We believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believed that he is the Son of God. We believe that he died for us in our place to take the punishment for our sins. We believe that he's shed his blood. We believe that he rose again. We believe that he overcame the sin and death. And so it is so precious to think, when we were born again, we were born overcomers like Jesus. But do we actually think about ourselves like that? I mean, sometimes when we read scriptures, we can read scriptures and it really encourages us, like 1 Corinthians 15:57. "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And it's good to read scriptures like that and to remember the truth. And it gradually, as we do that, I think it can transform the way we think. And we need to keep on reading the word so that our minds are renewed, that we can be renewed to the fact that we are overcomers through faith in Jesus. But as I say, there may be troubles ahead, there may be exciting things ahead. How do we view ourselves? You know, do we view ourselves, what is our inner picture? Have we got an inner picture of ourselves as an overcomer? Or is this something that we need to allow the Lord to really reveal to us this year? And we can't do it in our own efforts. We can't simply say, "I am an overcomer, I am an overcomer," and sort of stir yourself up. It might help a little bit, but we need to really allow the Holy Spirit to renew our thinking, to be in the Word of God and to renew our thinking. But I am going to just give you a little story about something that happened many years ago that the Holy Spirit was really working, and this was a practical way that the Holy Spirit worked in the lives of two friends of mine. I knew this couple, and they were having a really difficult time. They had young children, so the wife was at home looking after the children, and the husband had lost his job. And as the months went on and he didn't get another job, he got more and more downhearted. And so you would say he was not feeling like an overcomer in Christ. He was feeling under the circumstances. And lots of us were praying for them. And it went on for a long time. And one day I was praying with a friend, and I had this very unusual picture, and like a moving picture, and the Lord spoke to me, and I thought, I believe I received a word of knowledge to give this couple. But it was a bit unusual, so I prayed about it, and then I went and talked to the husband. And I said to him, I've been praying about your situation. I know you're really struggling with it. But I said, the Lord has suggested, wants me to suggest to you that you start thinking of yourself as James Bond. So I didn't actually know that they loved going to watch James Bond films, but that's beside, I didn't know that. I said, I think God wants you to view yourself as James Bond and your wife as the heroine. And, you know, in the film, in this picture I've seen, there was a helicopter, and they were in a very difficult situation, and the wife was despairing, or the heroine was despairing, but suddenly James Bond swoops in with a helicopter. It's been hit, there's no doors, it just about flies, and he swoops in and he rescues his heroine, you see, and sweeps her off, and it's all okay and they're fine. So I said, this is how God wants you to view yourself. And he said, oh yes, okay. So then I had to go and find the wife, and I think, I don't know if it's the same day, a few days later, and I said, I've spoken to Mark, and I need to speak to you, and I said, I feel the Lord has given me this picture, and that he wants you to view your husband as James Bond. And yourself as the heroine. And I went through the story again and how it all ended, okay. And she said, yes, okay. So, fortunately, I mean, God's got a sense of humour. He knew that they love watching James Bond films. But they began to have a different view of themselves. In a way, James Bond would definitely be described as an overcomer, wasn't he? He'd overcome the situations. And the heroine would, her view of James Bond, she'd be looking to him to help. And they needed that in their marriage. She needed to have a better view of her husband. We're more confident. And he needed to have a better view of who he was in Jesus. And although it was difficult at the time, it could change. And I feel that God was given a contemporary image, really, to speak to this couple, to change the way they think. If I'd just gone to them and said, I think we ought to read these scriptures, and you'll see that you're an overcomer. And isn't that great? You know, I don't think it would have really cut it with them. So anyway, mercifully, the Lord worked. I mean, and their whole attitude changed. He then had an interview, got a job, and went on a training course. And the first day that he went to this training course for the job, he didn't go straight home. He came and saw me. And he came and he showed me this pager. And he said, look, Christine, I have been given a pager for the new job, and my call number is 007. So, I love the story. And it seems, every now and then, because this happened 20 odd years ago, every now and then I see him and he says, yes, it's part of his testimony. He tells people about that, and how God really changed his view of himself. And I'm just saying, you know, God wants us to see ourselves in Christ as overcomers, you know? Because there's so many things in life that could push us down. But he wants us to see ourselves as overcomers. And it's all to do with grace. Something I remember hearing a few years ago that also helped me, this little phrase, the thing that would take you under will be the thing that takes you over because of great grace. And when you really appreciate, when we appreciate more about the grace of Jesus, then we begin to realise that when things could push us down, if we actually say, no, I'm going to look and rely on the grace that Jesus gives me, it will lift us up. You know, we're saved by grace. We could never do enough good things to be counted perfect. We've all sinned, so it's Jesus who's shed blood that's paid the price for us. It's his grace that's given us this relationship with God. It's his grace, his unmerited favour. And we learn that when we become born again. But then each day we have to learn to rely on God's grace, his enabling to do life every day. And so there's a saving grace, but there's an ongoing daily grace. And it's only when you get to a situation that you actually receive the grace for that day. You know, I'm in a situation at the moment with my life, with my parents, well, my dad and my stepmom, and things that are happening, they're in hospital, etc. And the things I'm having to sort out, that to be honest, for years I've thought, one day this situation could happen, and I may have to sort it out. And it's only when you get to it that you suddenly think, the grace is there for that day. The wisdom is there for that day. Not the day before. Not in the middle of the night when you're thinking about it and wondering. It's there. And I think that that's part of learning to be an overcomer, is to really rely on Jesus' grace. Because the thing that could bring us down, by great grace, will be the thing that brings us up. And so that is so encouraging. And every day we have choices. You know, in our walk we have choices. Choice whether to yield to these negative thoughts and feelings of frustration, or choice to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it's a learning process, isn't it? And I think it's learning for us to draw on what God's put inside of us. As I said, our reborn spirit, the real us inside of us, has been reborn by the power of God, and we are made overcomers. God has put inside of us a spiritual force of righteousness. You know, we can read about the gift of righteousness, but there's a spiritual force of righteousness in our reborn spirit. And there's that is the ability to do right has been put inside of us, and the ability to make that choice to yield to that rather than to the old nature. We all know that sometimes we get pulled in different ways, wanting to yield to the old way or yield to the new way. We have to make wise choices. And, you know, choices that lead you to life, or choices that lead you ultimately to death. May the Lord help us to make wise choices. And I'm going to just give you three suggestions of areas where you may have to choose, and I pray that we will make wise choices. The one is our words. When something goes wrong, we have a choice of what we say about the situation. We can speak words that are negative, or that we can speak words of faith. Now remember, when Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, I have overcome the world. Which you could actually say was him making a declaration of faith. Now it's true that in the wilderness he fasted for 40 days and the devil tempted him, and he overcame that. How did he overcome the temptation? He used scripture. He declared words of scripture. So at that point, when he was being tempted, he spoke out words of scripture, and he overcame the devil by his words. But that was even before the cross. When he went to the cross, that's where he really overcame the power of sin and death on the cross. So when Jesus was saying, you know, in me you have peace, don't worry, I've overcome the world, he was actually speaking out in faith what he was going to do. And I would say that overcomers speak out God's language. You know, Jesus said, Again, in John 12:49, he said, "For I do not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it." So when Jesus spoke out, he always knew that he was relying on the Father to speak out these words. So when he said, "I have overcome the world," he was speaking that out by faith. And then indeed, he did overcome the power of sin and death when he died and he rose again. So my prayer is that we listen to the Holy Spirit to know what to say and how to say it. That we can keep on reading God's word with gratitude that Jesus has won the victory. Let's not magnify the problems by constantly talking about them. And when we don't feel like overcomers, it can take discipline to keep silent for a little while, to use our faith to believe that we are overcomers, and then to speak out words of faith, to measure the words we speak. So Jesus used his faith in John 16, and may we learn to do likewise. So one is our words. Let's pray that we make wise choices of our words. And then the second one is prayer. And as I said earlier, it's a good point to remind ourselves that Jesus prayed for us. It's recorded in John 17, but he ever lives to make intercession for us. We know that it's in Hebrews. And this gives us confidence. But something I've been learning about an overcomer and about prayer is this. An overcomer has learnt not to spend time asking God to do things that he's already done for us in Christ. Long sentence, say it again. An overcomer has learnt not to spend time simply asking God to do the things that he's already done for us in Christ. Sometimes we pray to God and ask him to do things that he's already done for us by Jesus' death and resurrection. And sometimes we need to actually just say, "Thank you, God, for what Jesus has accomplished for us." And that's the way to pray about something, to say, "I thank you, Jesus, that you have given me the gift of peace." There's such great power in thanksgiving, and I think when our prayer is encompassed by thanksgiving, we are to pray with thanksgiving. It changes the way we pray. When we pray out a heart of gratitude, we pray things like, "Thanks be to God that he always leads me in triumphal procession in Christ Jesus." We can say, "Thank you, God, that I am in covenant with you through Jesus' shed blood. Thank you, God, that though I may feel weak, your grace is sufficient. Thank you, God, that though I'm feeling weak, the greater one is in me, and he's greater than him in the world. And I thank you, God, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I thank you, God, that your favour surrounds me like a shield, and you lift up my head." There's so many things that I'm just wanting to this year to make sure that my prayers are more thanking God for what he's done. And as you pray that out, it encourages you. It really encourages you that he's done this. But I think another thing that's really important when we speak about prayer is always remember that we're taught to forgive. To forgive anyone who has anything, if we have anything against anyone, forgive as Christ has forgiven us. So, I mean, we could talk a lot about that, but there's just some little suggestions for this year. Think about your words, to think about your prayer life, to keep it full of thanksgiving. And the third thing I just want to suggest is a process, but I want to suggest that we need to learn to draw on the spiritual fruit that God has placed within our reborn spirit. Overcoming is not about stirring yourself up, gritting your teeth and think, "And I'm going to do it, I'm overcoming." No, it's a matter of just moment by moment choosing and learning to draw on the fruit of the Spirit that is in our reborn spirit. We've been talking about love, joy, patience, forbearance recently, haven't we? When we're born again, those fruit are in our spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to work with us to help us. But we have to learn how to draw on what God has put inside of us. We have to learn to yield to the love that God has put inside our hearts. God is love, and as we said, we have been born of love, But we have to let that desire to let his love flow out of us to other people. And when I was preparing for this, I was reminded of a situation where I had struggled with this particular person, and I know my attitude wasn't always good, but they had vexed me a lot. And one day I was just about to break, and I started, and I could feel my voice sort of raising up, and I was just about to let them have it. And amazingly, God in his grace just caught me, and suddenly I actually made the choice to speak out words of love. So I told them how much I loved them, which is what they weren't expecting it at all. Because I think sometimes if people wind you up, they do kind of know, don't they? Can I break them, you know? And so suddenly I was telling them how much I love them. Oh, but the funny thing was, I felt really good, because actually, when you speak crosswords, though it's nice to get, you think it's nice to get something off your chest, don't you? But actually, there's a kind of dirty, gritty feeling in your soul that's left when you've said that. But when you say something lovely, and it was like just suddenly this well of love, and it was that I thought somehow I was learning to draw on what God had put inside of me. And I spoke some loving words. It completely changed the situation. But it also changed me forever, because I thought, actually, you know, to let love out when you don't want to then refreshes you inside, doesn't it? And there's like a spring of water springing up. And then I really learned that the act of overcoming releases love to others. And we have to look at Jesus. He's our perfect example. He overcame the power of sin and death by the greatest act of love. His death on the cross was the greatest act of sacrificial love for all time, and it gave us the gift of eternal life. So as we truly value what he's done for us, we become overcomers, and we can experience his love flowing through us in challenging situations. And his pure love flowing through us to others will protect us from going the wrong way. And I begin to learn that when our desire to show God's love is stronger than the negative emotions, then we have overcome. To walk in victory is to walk in the love of God. So I'm just going to say that again. So when our desire is to show God's love, when it's stronger, that desire is stronger than to let the negative emotions out, that is when we've overcome. So to walk in victory in Jesus is to walk in the love of God. And this is just possible by his grace. And there's no age restraints. You could be 96, and you can be an overcomer if you've got your faith in Jesus. So just to summarise, because I know I've said lots of things, let's keep our focus on Jesus in 2019. Let's keep our focus on Jesus, the one who's overcome the world. He won the victory by dying and rising again for us, and he has given his victory to us. And may the Holy Spirit enlarge our vision of what Jesus has accomplished for us, so that we see ourselves as overcomers and we see ourselves as he sees us. So that potential that Alan was talking about, I think this ties in with what Alan's brought, that may we see ourselves as Jesus sees us because of what he's done for us and who we are in Christ and Christ in us. May we realise that although we face troubles which the devil would want to make us go under, but with Christ those challenges can be turned around. The grace of God can lift us up. Believe that this year. And may the God set a guard on our lips from speaking negatively. I think that's really important. May we learn sometimes just to hold back silent and pray and then say something of faith. So thank you for listening. And I'm just going to read a scripture to you. To him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you from his before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.